Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's program is about transgenderism, and you know the big story. In March, Governor DeSantis of Florida and the Republican legislature passed a law banning classroom instruction concerning sexual orientation and gender identity in K through second grades. Parents also have the right to sue the school if the policy is violated. The ethics behind the law is that only parents should decide when and in what way children should be introduced to LGBTQ and transgenderism. The law was called the Parental Rights in Education Bill. And the left went on a war against DeSantis and this law because they want LGBTQ and transgenderism normalized. In their worldview, if gender's a choice, we should be teaching transgenderism to our children in kindergarten, you know, just like we used to teach kindergartners that there are boys and girls and mommies and daddies. I mean, if transgenderism is right, as the left believes, why wouldn't we teach it to our young children? So they call DeSantis's bill the Don't Say Gay Bill. The bill is considered censorship, bullying, anti-social justice, a persecution of LGBTQ, and as in this NPR article, it's called an effort to restrict the rights of LGBTQ youths. Imagine if there was a law passed in the 1950s that teachers could not teach K through second graders anything about the family unit or gender distinctions. You know, that would be outrageous because it's the responsibility of teachers to pass on to the next generation basic universal cultural values. Well, since the LGBT community considers their values just as right and virtuous as traditional family values, why should there be censorship of LGBTQ values? Why should only the parents be allowed to talk about this with their children? That's segregating out or isolating or discriminating against LGBTQ values. So we understand their argument, but their worldview is wrong. There is such a thing as right and wrong, and there is a God who reveals his law. Laws against evil and immorality are not to be viewed as a persecution of evil, but as righteousness. It's not as if a law against murder is a persecution of murderers. But as lawlessness has increased in our society, this is the way righteous Judeo-Christian values are being viewed, as persecution. In a world that calls evil good and good evil, everything is reversed. Teaching traditional family values is called homophobic evil, and teaching transgenderism is called love. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." So the God and Country audience doesn't need another lesson on the immorality of transgenderism. Most of us already know what the Bible has to say about this. In the beginning, God created them male and female. But we do need to be reminded of how transgenderism is a great abomination. What are the left's justifications, given their view that all morality should be based upon man? How widespread transgenderism is in our nation. It's not a minority position like some conservatives are saying. How destructive transgenderism is to young people. How it will not be overturned by common sense Americans, and how transgenderism will never be normalized. It will soon be stopped by divine judgment. And finally, we need to be reminded of how God is allowing this immorality to draw the line in the sand between those who are on God's side and those who are not. So those are my points. First, transgenderism is an abomination. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, "You shall not lie with male as one lies with a female." It's an abomination. And this gives us the principle that God expects us to conform to gender roles and behaviors. The Hebrew word abomination means something that is abhorred or detested. And although all sin is sin, in the law, God singles out certain sins as abominations, such as homosexuality, child sacrifice, idolatry, and all of the sexual deviances mentioned in Leviticus 18. And also, Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. And this is a further application of the principle of Leviticus 18:22, that there are sexual standards, there are gender standards that God expects mankind to abide by. Deuteronomy 22:5 tells us that it isn't just the sexual act of homosexuality that's the sin. It's also a sin to reject one's gender or play the role of another gender, desiring to look like or be another gender. So how much more of an offense is it to try to physically change your gender with drugs or surgery? So why is this such an offense to God? Because it is rebellion against the will of God in God's creative order. Transgenderism is saying that God made a mistake, and I should be able to choose for myself which gender I want to be. And behind transgenderism is this arrogance and bitterness over having to conform to something that is outside of my own will. This rebellion says, I may want to be my biological gender, but I should be the one to get to choose. The choice should be made by me, not by nature or nature's God. Transgenderism flows out of a belief that we are our own God and we should be able to create our own reality. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and insubordination as iniquity and idolatry. Because rebellion against the creative order was Satan's original crime. He boasted, I will be like God, I will rise above the Most High. And humanity, in its moral rebellion against God, is siding with Satan's basic premise. But here's a corollary question. If it's such an offense to God, why isn't it an offense to modern man? The left would say, well, that's because morality is simply human tradition, a human construct. So why should we be offended over just tradition? Well, the Bible says this lack of offense against transgenderism is because the conscience can become seared, so that people can deny and suppress natural instinct. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. And also Titus chapter 1, verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their conscience are defiled. If you burn a place on your hand continually, eventually the nerve endings will die and you'll no longer feel any pain. Well, the same is true when we sin against our conscience. The spiritually healthy person is tempted with deviant sexual thoughts and thinks to himself, well, those thoughts are wrong. I'm going to reject those thoughts. But the spiritually unhealthy person is tempted and says, I like those thoughts. They affirm me. They give me purpose. I like the feeling of being a rebel. And hence they fall into further and further darkness. Especially when there are false teachers in the culture telling people, telling children that evil is virtue. Secular humanists are teaching that transgenderism and LGBTQ are the default states of the conscience. But they're not. Those behaviors flourish by suppressing the conscience and with false teaching. George Orwell, there are some ideas so absurd that only an intellectual could believe them. They have to be taught. Now, as we go to the New Testament, there are the same prohibitions against both homosexuality and transgenderism, the rejection of God's gender norms. Notice the Apostle Paul's list of sins that excludes a person from the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. The sin is not just the sexual practice of homosexuality, but in being effeminate. Malakos in the Greek, and that was the Greek word for a man acting like a woman in dress and demeanor and character. And the English word effeminate is a good translation. And remember also Romans chapter 1. The sin is in leaving the natural function of the woman or the natural function of the man. Now, a word here about moral expectations. Because these are unregenerate, unsaved people who follow their fallen nature, and as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, they're dead in their trespasses and sins. Because of this, it's easy to excuse such behavior, to say, well, they just don't know any better. I mean, what do you expect from people who are spiritually unconnected from God? And the old illustration is of a man stepping on your foot. What difference would it make to you if you later discover that he was a blind man? So in other words, how could you be upset over the actions of a blind man? How could you hold them to any normal expectations? Well, that illustration really doesn't apply to gender rebellion, because the scripture tells us that God has put his law in every man's conscience, even the conscience of the unsaved, so much so that they're without excuse and they will be judged accordingly in the day of judgment. And that's the point in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. The unsaved are also accountable to the law of God, even though they're unregenerate. So my first point is that transgenderism is a serious sin, and that people are fully responsible for the rebellion against God in this matter. They're not blind. Second, transgenderism is more widespread than we realize. Notice the outrage against this DeSantis law in Florida, when it only applies to K through second graders. What happens in third grade when children are just as impressionable? The schools can still go on indoctrinating children in transgenderism in third through 12th grade, teaching the immoral position that gender is a choice. So they tell children, if you feel like a girl, you ought to be a girl. If you feel like a boy, you should be a boy. At the very least, you should accept other children's choice of gender. See, the Florida bill was anemic and cowardice. And notice there was no positive moral imperative requiring what used to be taught in public schools, that one must conform to one's God-given biological gender. The public and the politicians have been deluded by secular relativism so that they're unable to teach God's natural law. They have been duped into thinking that it would be unfair and unjust for schools to teach any norms that would align with Christian truth. Legislators, even conservative legislators, are deceived by the lie of neutrality. So, in that sense, these legislators are already in the camp of the humanist left. These legislators don't have any conviction to mandate the teaching of God's truth in public schools. And so they're not really turning back to God. They're just turning back to some older moral values for the sake of self-preservation. But returning to God and returning to the teaching of God's law as the law of the land is the only thing that will turn back this transgender movement. But legislators just won't do it. So transgenderism will eventually win. because the legislators are unwilling to turn back to God. They believe they can hold on to those old values on the basis of parental or personal freedom, and that will not work. Now, the LGBTQ lobby operates on the principle you should never surrender an inch. So, of course, they're going to complain about the Florida law and use that law to raise money for their organizations. But I'm sure behind closed doors, they're laughing at conservatives. And they're saying we still got them. These naive conservatives are still letting us indoctrinate children in 3rd through 12th grades. We've got the education system in our pocket. Public schools are the church of secular humanism, paid for by the government force of taxation. So the very fact that these politicians are hamstrung in not being able to confront transgenderism with God's truth shows us just how widespread transgenderism is in America. Now, it's not that the majority of Americans are transgenders themselves, but the majority of Americans live by the satanic philosophy, do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. Personal freedom is their highest moral value. Where people should be able to make whatever moral choice they want, because people should not be forced to follow any religious moral values, because that would be unfair, and that's a satanic lie that has taken over America. I saw one of those bumper stickers the other day that had the rainbow flag and said, love is love. Morality is being defined by whatever people want to love. As in this satanic logo, love is the law, love under will, not God's will, but man's will. So man's affections are becoming the basis for right and wrong. And that's the road to Sodom. As is often said, the great sin of Sodom was not merely homosexuality, because every resident of Sodom was not a homosexual. The great sin of Sodom was in agreeing with and supporting the immoral freedom of the Sodomites, and not stopping it. I've said this before, I have to say it again. Homosexual marriage and the LGBTQ agenda did not win in America because their lobbyists had an effective political strategy. It won in America because the ideology of personal autonomy and non-religion was already entrenched in the American mind, mostly due to having the Bible prohibited in public school for the last 40 years. So LGBTQ walked right into power. Whenever God is thrown out, and he's thrown out when his word is banned, immorality and every type of crime will break out. Here's a news article. Against all odds, mother tells how her daughter and every one of her friends are suddenly trans. A mom writing for Substack, Parents with Inconvenient Truth About Trans, explains what is really happening in the grassroots youth culture. She starts her article with this: my teenage daughter has decided she is trans. So have all of her friends. Not some of them, not most of them, every single one. The mother said that her daughter showed no signs of gender dysphoria and had never heard the word transgender before enrolling at her new school. That's where she met a group of nerdy, artsy kids. They began looking into all things transgender on the internet. Then one day, Shazam, they were all suddenly trans. They no longer had any desire to speak with the cis kids. How can a bunch of kids suddenly be all trans? It's what we call social contagion. It's when a group of people all start imitating each other to fit in. The article goes on to explain, the trans ideology of today is similar to the skinheads of the 80s, insecure, lonely, rebellious kids, frequently bored, and many angry at their parents are looking for an outlet. This is the perfect breeding ground for recruiters from outlier subgroups like skinheads and transgenders. Both groups offer a built-in social structure, acceptance, a sense of belonging to a group of outsiders who have never belonged to anything. More important, both groups have the ability to make a kid feel special because both groups offer purpose. And both groups consider themselves victims. Victimhood to many is comfortable. A Pittsburgh study from last year states that roughly 10% of teens under 18 years of age identify as gender diverse. That's 5 times higher than the national estimate, and it's likely garbage. People actually suffering from gender dysphoria are rare. But teens craving attention, acceptance, rebellion, and purpose are innumerable. Well, the odds of an entire group of friends all being trans are minuscule. It would be nice to think that the trans craze is just a bunch of kids being kids, but the truth is terrifying. Hair dye, piercing, and punk clothing are temporal. One can even have a tattoo removed these days. But having your gender physically altered with drugs and surgery is a whole other level of creating a new me. So, if we all know that teens frequently go through a rebellious phase, why would adults allow them to pick their gender and mutilate their bodies permanently? Marxists are on board because it's part of their plan to topple the United States. They are groomers and recruiters. Unquote, PJ Media, against all odds. Well, yes, there is a political attack element there, but it's mostly being fueled by anti-God, immoral ideologues who want to change social morals in order to soothe their conscience and win their war against God's law. They want everyone to accept transgenderism so that they will be proven right. And that's Romans chapter 1, verse 32. They want to achieve social approval. Now, from the Bible, we know why children are becoming transgenders. Children are greatly influenced by what they're taught. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. And what we've allowed in America is immoral false teachers. You know, like the priest of Baal, who turned sexual immorality into a religious virtue. Like this teacher, holding up a book teaching young children to be who they are. I mean, have you seen all of the LGBTQ cartoons for children that are being played in public school? It's no small thing. They get played to the children every year during Pride Month and during LGBTQ History Month. And it doesn't take many, you know, teachers or administrators for transgenderism to be normalized in a public school. It only takes two or three. Because the opposing view is silenced. No teacher who holds to traditional Christian moral values is allowed to tell children the other side of the story. That it's right for them to follow their biological gender and gender roles. Such a teacher would be fired for teaching religion. But trans teachers are allowed to say you can be whatever gender you want, and it's okay to have two mommies and daddies. So the ideological and legal bias favors transgenderism. They own the culture because Christian truth is being silenced under the guise of separation of church and state. Here's another article. PJ Media, angry mom confronts LGBT groomers. The army of moms standing up against the sexualization of their children by groomer teachers is a defining moment in the culture war this year. It is happening again in Glendale, California, at the Glendale Unified School District. And the board there got an earful at the board meeting after a third grade teacher, Tammy Tibber, was caught teaching LGBTQ sexuality to 8-year-olds 3 days a week. The moms are protesting, but California law not only allows, but mandates the teaching of LGBTQ to children. Also here in New Jersey, LGBTQ curriculum is the law. It was passed a couple of years ago, but now that the curriculum is being implemented, parents are now starting to complain, but it's too late. Notice this conflict. when New Jersey legislators passed the law mandating the teaching of LGBTQ in schools, they didn't consider that it conflicted with the 1979 New Jersey obscenity laws. Obscenity material means any description, narrative account, display, depiction of a specific anatomical area or a specific sexual activity contained in or consisting of a picture or other representation. But the obscenity laws won't be brought up because leftist politicians will not apply these obscenity laws to teachers explaining and teaching homosexual behavior. So transgender philosophy is widespread in public schools, in universities. We have an entire political party in the United States that's pushing transgenderism, the Democrats. President of the United States, after the Florida law was passed, tweeted to transgenders, Americans of all ages, I want you to know that you're so brave. You belong. I have your back. Then Biden made an official video celebrating transgenderism. To everyone celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility, I want you to know that your president sees you. Jill, Kamala, Doug, and our entire administration see you for who you are. Made in the image of God and deserving of respect, dignity, and support. We know it's hard, and there are many out there that don't see you and don't respect you. For example, the onslaught of anti-transgender state law attacking you and your family is simply wrong. Well, there Biden is talking about the administration's opposition to the new Florida law because the administration actually wants K through second graders to be indoctrinated in transgenderism. And notice Biden, in his religious apostasy, thinks that being made in the image of God means that people can do whatever they want to do. Biden then goes on to say, this administration is standing up for you against all of these hateful bills, and we are committed to advancing transgender equality in the classroom, on the playing field, at work, in our military, in our housing and healthcare systems, everywhere, simply everywhere, unquote Joe Biden. In other words, these people fully believe that people should be able to choose the gender of their choice, and that should be pushed, and any opposition to that is hate. If you think that's bad, the official White House statement about Transgender Day is even worse. Quote, we recognize all gender nonconforming people. We celebrate your activism. Transgenders face opposition that must be stopped. We oppose any bills against the practice of transgenderism. We honor transgenders in their fight for freedom. Well, that's from our administration. And really, it's a fight for freedom from God's law. So the goal here is to normalize transgenderism. Any moral opposition is considered violence and discrimination. This is how widespread the transgender movement is as a philosophy. Here's an article. The Federal Department of Health and Human Services put out a document entitled Gender-Affirming Care and Young People, Classifying Puberty Blockers, Hormone Therapy, and Gender-Affirming Surgery for Children as Gender-Affirming Medical Care. Here's another article. MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, cheerlead Disney amid battle with DeSantis. Notice that all the major media is for transgenderism. And recently, Fox News hired Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, as a Fox News contributor. And the CEO of Fox, Susan Scott, made the statement, she, Caitlyn Jenner, is a trailblazer in the LGBTQ plus community, and her illustrious career spans a variety of fields that will be a tremendous asset for our audience. So the management of Fox News tips its hat to LGBTQ. Gender is your choice. And that's why the transgender movement will never be turned back unless our nation fully returns to a belief that there is a God who has revealed his moral will in Scripture. And that has to be backed by the institution of the church, the family, and the state. Now, what we're hearing from conservative pundits, is that this recent pushback against transgenderism in schools is a sign that the current administration is out of touch with the American people, that 80% of the public is against transgenderism being taught in public schools. I just heard Clay Travis and Buck Sexton say the other day that common sense will eventually kick in and transgenderism will be defeated. And we're hearing conservatives say, go woke and go broke. That if Disney starts including transgender characters, which they've already been doing for years, the public will stop patronizing Disney. Oh, by the way, Disney announced that they're mandating that their employees are no longer allowed to say boys and girls. Well, first, I don't think it will make much of a difference in their bottom line. And second, you have to understand these people promoting LGBTQ in corporate America. They don't care about the money. They're like Elon Musk, what he said about buying Twitter. Quote, but what I'm saying is this. This is not a way to sort of make money. My strong intuitive sense is that having public platforms that are trusted and broadly inclusive is extremely important to the future of civilization. I don't care about economics at all. Well, that's the way it is for those who believe in transgenderism. They feel that this is their cause. They don't care about the money. Sexual liberation is their higher value. And they don't even care if they run a business into the ground as long as they stood for transgenderism. This is where they get their self-worth. And I remember hearing the same thing back in 2000, where pundits were saying that the public would never accept homosexual marriage, common sense Americans would never allow it, and businesses would go broke if they supported homosexual marriage. But that wasn't the case, because the ideology of relativism already permeated the culture. And the people and the legislators and the courts did not believe in maintaining values that had a religious basis. So homosexual marriage was inevitable, even if it did seem offensive at the time, and so also with the transgender movement. Again, the problem with popular conservatism is that it's trying to promote traditional values for the sake of self-preservation or tradition, and they want to do it without a full return to Christ. They want to do it on the basis of the Constitution, on the basis of some sort of freedom for conservative families, but be warned, it's not going to work. The nation that's abandoned God will only go in one direction. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. The wicked will be returned to Sheol, even all nations who forget God. Or how about Jeremiah 13, 24? Therefore, I will scatter them like drifting straw to the desert wind. This is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Or how about Hosea chapter 4, verse 6? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priests. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So nothing less than full repentance and a full return to God will turn our nation around. But can that happen? Or will it happen? Or is it even possible? Evangelicals want to hold out the hope for national revival, like the revivals that took place in the Old Testament under King Hezekiah or King Josiah. And we know that God is the God of the impossible. That's all true, but let's not confuse God's goal of personal conversion with national restoration. What might maximize the salvation of souls is judgment upon this nation, complete economic and military collapse. Jesus Christ was the perfect minister to national Israel. He started his church, but to aid his people, he didn't save the nation of Israel. He destroyed it so that the evil social leaders of that nation would no longer have the power and would no longer have the platform. All of the proponents of transgenderism are going to be taken down soon in national judgment. It's not if, but when. And the Bible answers when It will happen when evil has fully taken over the culture. So they have to own the destruction that will be brought upon the nation. Now, this brings up the point of how destructive transgenderism is. And let me just talk about this for a minute. This is destructive to the whole nation. It's destructive to individuals. This is a truth that's being suppressed. Those who transition physically no longer can have children. They destroy their gift of procreation. Those who take hormone blockers, testosterone, estrogen, have headaches, deterioration of their bones and muscles. They have physical maladies in the brain. And despite the fantasy that's being pushed, you can't change your gender. No matter what you do, your chromosomes down to each individual cell is either XX or XY. You can't change that. Your arms are too short to box God. But notice that this fantasy and rebellion is so powerful that people will even harm themselves physically in order to have freedom from God's requirements. And this just shows how satanic this transgender philosophy is. Oh, by the way, did you know that Planned Parenthood is getting into the transgender business? Planned Parenthood locations are now distributing hormone treatments and getting into gender reassignment surgery. Well, of course, because the same demonic influence that inspires the murder of babies also inspires transgenderism. These people are in a war against God. And this is the prophecy. For the Bible prophesies that at the end of this age, there will be a great outbreak of evil. Revelation chapter 12, woe to the earth, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. But here's the positive message. And the reason why God is allowing this great outbreak of evil, because it draws the line in the sand between those who are on Satan's side and those who are on God's side. No longer is there any doubt. No longer is there a gray area. What's happening in the culture shows the clear difference between those who are in submission to God and those who are in rebellion. This movement towards sexual immorality shows in the physical world where people stand spiritually so that there's no mistake. People today have to consciously choose what to believe about gender. Not like years ago where people didn't even have to think about it. They just followed the culture. In our day, the only way to stand against transgenderism is to be fully committed to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ, to have that higher authority. And now people are learning what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, about what it means to follow Christ. You actually have to deny yourself, your very nature, pick up your cross and follow Him. Versus what society is saying, celebrate your fallen nature. We read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, what will come at the end of this world will be an hour of testing. That hour which is to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. That is whether one will go along with the Antichrist agenda and his immorality, do what thou wilt, or whether one will follow Christ and his law. The choice couldn't be more clear in our day. Two final stories about those who have chosen God's way. First, Tucker Carlson did an interview with Helena Kirchner, who transitioned as a teen, then realized it was a lie. Quote from Helena, there were messages that said, if you feel bad about your body, you're a trans. I didn't like how I was treated as a cis person. If you're cis, you're uncool, you're privileged, you're an oppressor, and you're bad. I didn't want to be that. I was incentivized to figure out a way to make my voice heard, to be significant. I can't change my race, but I could change my gender. I was a demi-girl, then a demi-boy, then gender fluid, then a trans boy. 2 years of repetitive cycles of changing my identity. It was never enough. There was a lot of hopelessness for a long time, a lot of regret. The feeling of regret was intense. Now Helena goes around the country speaking out against transgender ideology. In the second story, the Christian periodical World Magazine had an article last month about those who have come out of the transgender lifestyle, those who are said to be detransitioning because they came to learn the falsehood of transgenderism. You know, the problem wasn't that they were in the wrong body. The problem was that they were sinners who needed to be saved by Christ. Well, the article featured Laura Perry and her transition into being a man and then her return to womanhood. And her return began one night when she said a prayer to surrender her life to Christ and to ask for forgiveness of her sins. Then she became convicted over her male identity, and she thought, what name would God call her? Jake or Laura? She realized God created Laura, but Jake was her own creation, and her work was a disaster. But if God created her, she could trust him to define her. For Laura, and for all those who come to Christ, it means suffering. Like Moses having to forsake the treasures of Egypt, Laura writes that choosing God meant having to leave her partner of 8 years, leaving a high-paying tech job, leaving her home in Tulsa. When she stopped taking testosterone, she experienced withdrawal symptoms, including massive headaches. And she writes, when she looked at herself in the mirror, a flat, hairy chest, a short haircut and a beard, she was horrified by what she had done to herself. But she endured the transition back because she wanted to be on God's side. She denied herself. She took up the cross and followed Christ. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. She writes, my story is not about transgenderism. It's about the gospel. I didn't know how to fix myself, but I came to the end of myself and God redeemed me. And that's a testimony of all of us who have come to know Christ. Psalm 107, verse 10. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains. Speaking about us. Because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let him give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their rebellious way, because of their iniquity, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Never forget the Psalm 107 testimony of conversion. The only way to stop the evil and the rebellion of transgenderism is for people to become new creations in Christ. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.